Do you like writing murky, mysterious stories, crime-ridden thrillers, or gripping tales of suspense? A new monthly crime writers group called Murky Melbourne. This group meets on the first Wednesday of each month at Miller's Homestead in Boronia. For more information, contact murkymelbourne at gmail.com.
Welcome to Community Connections. I'm Alan Collier. It's my pleasure to be with you for the next 3 hours. But the first hour, we've now got Mark on the line. And if you listen, I've twice in the last 5 minutes, I've played a promotion for Murky Melbourne. So we're going to find out from Mark what it's all about. First of all, welcome, Mark.
Thanks, Alan. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon to you, Mark. Now, first of all, we're going to find out a lot about this Murky Melbourne. How long has this Murky Melbourne group been going? And tell us who set it up and what's behind it, please.
Yeah, sure. It's been going for about 6 months now, Alan. I set it up because I felt like, particularly in the east side of Melbourne, there wasn't a real lot supporting writers generally, but specifically crime writers. A lot of stuff goes on in the city, but as we found through COVID and beyond, Melbourne doesn't just concentrate in the city. There's a lot of stuff going on down the east.
Yep.
So, in fact, a lot of people left, I think, the city and came out to the east.
Yep.
I thought, well, you know, I'm not somebody who needs to be prompted. I think, you know, sometimes you just got to step forward and do something. I've been writing for a few years now, writing my own crime novel, and I guess the thing that really pushed me over the line too was a couple of years ago I went to Sydney, and they have a yearly festival there, and I was just blown away, Alan, by the level of support that the Sydney community gives their crime writers.
Now, can I just ask you before you go on, Mark? I don't like to stop you, but when you're talking about crime, you're talking about you're actually writing about crime, like invented stories, or do you actually write about Murky Melbourne, about crimes that have happened in Melbourne in the past?
Well, it is largely a crime fiction group,
yep.
Some people write about true crime, which is probably what you're referring to.
Yep, yep.
We also have members who write horror and what they call dark fiction. So we don't really put limits on people, but it's largely crime fiction.
Right. And so when you get together, do you discuss plots and all that? Or I'm just trying to get out. Sure. So you meet once a month. So when you come along to these meetings, what sort of things happen at those meetings?
Oh, you want to know what happens behind closed doors?
Well, not necessarily, but I guess just a brief outline, you know, whether you support each other in the way of expanding plots or whether they come along for experience on how to actually write them or what you actually do, please, Mark.
Yeah, well, the way we structure it, the group meets for 2 hours, 6 till 8 p.m. on the first Wednesday, and in the first hour, we usually dedicate that to a expert speaker. So we have a speaker come along from some type of, could be police, law enforcement, could be scientific. Like last week we had an expert on rural crime, which is very relevant to the Yarra Valley.
Yep.
Talking about their research. They're from the University of New England. And all their research about rural crime and how that's different to city crime.
Yep. I believe I was talking to a policeman only a little while ago, and he's got two sons. One that, he's a retired policeman. He's got two sons. One works in the city. One works down well into Gippsland. And he said they're almost like two different jobs.
Yeah, exactly. Fair. And, things like social media work well for policing in the city, but not so well in rural locations because, you know, it's not always necessarily used in the same way.
Yep.
But so anyway, the first hour we have a speaker. We've had in the past, Alan, We've had a funeral embalmer, somebody who prepares a dead person for funeral.
Yeah.
We've had somebody from the police forensics laboratory, a scientist, come along. We've had a private investigator come along.
Oh, yeah.
In the new year, we've got, in February, we've got the former head of hostage negotiation for New Scotland Yard.
Is going Gee, to be that'd be court. Fascinating.
Yeah, so that's what we do on the first hour, to sort of inspire people, get people engaged. And then the second hour, we will talk about the sort of things you talk about, people's writing, whatever they want to share. Some people are new to writing, just want to come along and hear others.
Yeah.
We've got some people who've never even started writing, but they're just interested. We've got some who've written like 16 books.
Gee. So there's plenty of experience there to sort of help the newcomer, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah, everything from publishing, as you say, plots, characters. Sometimes we run some activities or exercises. I've in the past brought along different things to prompt people's senses, because you probably know, Alan, that when you write read a book, you want to be kind of stimulated on different levels.
So yep. Yep.
Sometimes I brought along things like different sounds, and people, I play the sounds. It could be like a bird chirping or a creaky door, and then people then spend 10 minutes writing about that sound in a new story.
Oh, true. Mark, I've just got to take a quick break. I've got a couple of sponsorships popped up now, but we'll be back with more for Talk to Mark. Very fascinating. We're talking about murky Melbourne.
We've been shearing sheep, we've been mustering stock, we've been culling out roots, we've been spraying the crops, we've been droving cattle up an old stock route. Now it's Saturday night, we pile in the ute. We're the boys from the bush and we're back in town. Well, the dog's in the bag and the foot goes down. We're live members of the Outback Club. From the bush coming from the scrub. We've been out in the heat, we've been loading the trucks, we've been fixing fences, we've been choking on dust. We curse the rain, we curse the drought. Now it's Saturday night and we're all in the shout. We're the boys from the bush and we're back in town. We get high when the sun goes down. We're live members of the Outback Club. We're the boys from the bush coming from the scrub.
To Mark from Murky Melbourne. Mark, is it true that everybody has at least one book in them? Like, say if I rocked up to do something like this, and I'm not talking about me specifically, but do you think anybody can write a book?
I reckon, there's a lot of truth to that. whether it's a book that's worth and is going to be interesting to read is another thing.
You know, never thought of that.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
yep.
So there's a lot of people who are writing memoirs and family histories, and they think, oh, my family is so interesting. Everyone wants to read this book. Well, possibly, but it's also how you write it, not just the content.
Yep.
So, you know, there's a lot of techniques, like anything in life, that you can learn, and that's what we try and share, so that you know, particularly with crime fiction, I don't know whether you read it yourself, but...
Yep, absolutely.
You know yourself, if your attention hasn't been grabbed in the first line, let alone the first paragraph, you're probably not going to read it.
True. Yeah, you know, that's true.
You want to be shaken a bit to go, oh, what's going on here? I want to read more, you know? I was just going to say, very different if you pick up some of the older classic books, you know, even Dickens and so forth, you read it, it's very differently written to books now. I think our attention span requires, you know, to go, well, you better grab me, otherwise I'm going to turn my attention somewhere else.
Yeah, I'd agree. Mark, is it when you start off to write a book, because you've obviously written some, so I'll ask you this, do you start off with an ending? So we'll say you're going to write a murder story. Obviously a person's going to die, but do you start at the end, say, well, this is how I want it to finish, and then more or less work your way back, or do you start by writing a book and then developing the plot as you go?
Okay, well, I'm what they call a pantser.
A what?
Have you heard that term?
No.
A pantser. It sounds like trousers, doesn't it?
Yep.
But no, what it is, it's short for flying on the seat of my pants.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah. So, yeah. So basically, that means I'm totally unstructured, and I approach writing from a very organic. I have no idea what the ending is until I get there.
Oh, don't you? Yep.
So like the reader, I want it to be fresh. I want the What happens with me, Alan, is that on my wall I have photos of real people that are kind of similar to my characters. And after a while of writing, the characters actually start to tell me what the story is, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
because they become
alive.
They become alive. Exactly. And like sometimes I'll write a bit about a character and then the next day I'll go, "Now that's a bit lame. I reckon Jane would never say that. She's telling me, amp it up, mate. You know, that's a bit lame." So,
right, yeah.
Whereas there are other people called, you know, planners who plan, you know, and there's no right or wrong. It just depends on the person. Some people will write, you know, thousands of words of a plan and almost know what happens on every page, including the ending.
Oh, yeah.
So it's really reflective of the person themselves. If they like to be structured and feel anxious about writing something and they don't know where it goes, maybe planning's for them.
Right. Now, all right, let's just ask you another question, and you've probably half answered it here. When you start off to write a book, do you say to yourself, I want around 8 or 9 characters in this, or I only want 2 or 3, and then they come into the story, or do you just come along and think, oh, I could bring somebody else in here?
Well, I have primary characters, so usually I start with 2 or 3 characters.
Right, yep.
And then as I write, secondary characters emerge, and I work out, well, are they going to be a one-off or are they going to be popping up in the story? So once again, it just emerges, a bit like, you know, making a minestrone soup. You just don't know what comes to the surface.
Mark, how long does it normally take you to write a book?
Probably a year.
That's right.
Yeah. And if I'm dedicated.
Yeah. But with that year, now obviously you've probably got a job as well. Are you talking like you'd write every night, or do you just write weekends, or as it takes?
Well, I try and write every day. But I'll tell you a secret, because I'm ostensibly a procrastinator, Alan. You know, I've made it public. I've made it public now. Everyone knows. But so I have to tame the beast within me, right? And the way I do that is I try and fill myself every day. And so I write a target,
yep.
Or I set a target of 67 words a day writing. Okay?
Right, yep.
Now, most people ask me, why 67?
Yep.
And my answer is, because it sounds scientific, because it's sort of...
But it's not.
You know, it's not 60, not 70. And the other, this is where I tricked my mind. It's like exercise.
Yep.
By the time I write 67 words, guess what happens?
You want to keep going.
Exactly. Whereas it's like going for a walk. You'll find 1,000 reasons not go out the door. If you put your shoes on and walk out the door, even to the front landing, chances are you'll keep going.
Yes, yeah. I know. When I walk, my wife, I tell her I'll be back in half an hour and I'll be an hour because you see something and you just keep going, don't you? And so writing's the same as that, is it?
Yeah, I think so. It's what you make of it. I think the people who go set unrealistic targets of, you know, 2,000 or 3,000 words every day, and what happens is if they don't reach it, then they beat themselves up and go, oh, look, I'll never get, and they just give up.
Yep.
Like years ago, Alan, I did a PhD, right?
Yep.
And would you believe there's more people who are doing PhDs or have tried to do PhDs than the ones who've actually done it?
Is it? Yep.
Yeah. So there's a lot of people who want to do stuff, and not just writing, a lot of things. And, you know, they talk about it, but the thing is, you just have to sit down on your bum and write.
Yep, make the time.
Just has to happen.
Mark, I've just got to take another quick break and we'll be back with more. Talking to Mark from murky Melbourne. Mark, what got you involved in writing? Was it something that you'd always wanted to do, or did you get a plot in your mind and think that'd make a good book? I'm talking about you personally now.
Yeah. Well, it started when I was at high school. I actually flunked English. Mm. So
Not a good start for a writer.
Well, wouldn't think so, but... So I guess ever since then, I've always been intrigued by writing. And it's not because I wasn't good at English. It was just that, you know, school wasn't really for me.
Yep.
So I love the challenge of writing. I've written, as I said before, academic writing, but creative writing is a whole new ballgame. And what I found was, and this is why I want to, you know, mention this for the listeners too, that good stories come and often are linked to something that happened in your own life. It doesn't mean it's a crime necessarily, but it could be something that, you know, you've long forgotten that comes up as a memory, and you think, well, that could be one part of a story that I write. For example, the novel I've been writing lately is it partly refers to an experience I had when I was at university years ago. I did an anatomy subject, so we had to go in and actually do dissections. Yep. You know, and so I was exposed to cadavers in there, and not everyone has that sort of experience.
Yep.
And I could bring back the memories of the smell and the, well, you know, the visuals and all that, and that's become part of my story.
Oh, right. Mark, have you ever, or any of your other people that you talk to, got through, finished a book and then said, nah, this is not going to work, and actually gone back and had to rewrite most of the book, or by the time you get to the finish, you'll be refined it that many times that you that it's, you know, only need a few little touch-ups?
Well, it gets back to your earlier question, Alan. I think that yes, most people have got a book in them, but the ones that are smart will try and structure it early on so that they're on the right pathway. And so I would encourage people not to sort of bash out a whole novel, you know, first up, because then you may end up having to rewrite the thing. It's much better to, I think, give a chapter or two a go and then get some feedback from people that, you know, aren't just your family who are going to say, oh, that's the most amazing thing ever, when it's maybe not.
Yep.
You learn the art of writing as well as the doing of art.
So if somebody rocks up to you on the first Wednesday of the month, and then could they have that critiqued, so to speak, by either you or part or somebody else in the group and say, look, yeah, it's pretty good, but, you know, this needs to be altered or something like that? Does that happen in your group?
Well, we have done some of that. I mean, we're limited to, you know, in our own time to be able to do some of that. But if we can, we've done it in the group where we've reviewed people's work, you know, maybe restricted to a couple of pages, and just give them some hints on, you know, what we think it is, but also some leads about editors or other places that they can get some feedback.
I've got to take another quick break, Mark, and then I've got a ripper question to come back to you with. So be ready.
I'm glad you're here to really miss me. I guess
3FM acknowledges the traditional owners, the Wurundjeri people, as the custodians of this land we broadcast from. We pay respects to elders past, present, and emerging.
Mark, how hard is it for, say, a first time, say I came along and managed to write a book and think it's terrific, how hard is it as a first time writer to get it published?
Well, there's a couple of ways to do it. There's the traditional publishing, which I think you're probably referring to.
Yes, yep.
And then there's the self-publishing, which requires you to have a few dollars to be able to do that.
Yep.
But the traditional publishing, I'd have to say it's pretty tough, you know. It's not impossible, yep. But what I would say is that if it's a gripping yarn, if it's got something different to offer, then it's actually quite feasible. The publishing industry is looking for a lot of new authors and great stories.
Yep.
But there are different ways to sort of try and get your book in front of the publishing industry.
Right.
And it's not just the traditional stuff. What people will do is they'll email it off to wherever and hope for the best and then get disappointed when they don't hear anything.
Yep.
But there's different festivals to get engaged in. There are different ways to introduce yourself to the community. And you're more likely to get an audience as you become sort of known to be interested rather than just sitting at home sending off random emails.
Mark, if you go the other route and you say self-publish, what sort of costs involved in self-publishing a book?
Well, and self-publishing is a legitimate way to do it.
Yep.
And as we talked about before with memoirs or family history, maybe you just want to publish it for your own family's benefit, record. My mum wrote her own story of her life, and we self-published it, and it probably cost, I don't know, a few hundred dollars, really, to get enough copies for the family.
Oh, yeah.
Not too much. If you want to, say, try and sell it, sell your story, then you might be looking, depending on the print run, a few thousand, because there's different parts to it, design and obviously the publishing. But nowadays, with sort of print on demand,
yep.
If you're selling through Amazon or even, if you're selling ebooks, sometimes the cost is almost zero because you're only paying when you sell.
Oh, right. If you get one published through whoever, how hard is it then to get into the bookstores or to places like Amazon and that?
Well, Amazon is not so hard, particularly ebooks. You can self-publish through Amazon pretty much tomorrow if you wanted to.
Oh, can you? Yep.
Getting into bookstores is much more challenging. But, before that happens, you have to attract a publisher. And what I've heard and seen firsthand too, Alan, is that the authors that are prepared to wear some shoe leather out and actually help promote the book themselves, they're more likely to get things in bookshops. Like, once again, the days of writing a book and the publisher does everything are long gone.
Are they?
So, even really well-known authors, Jane Harper, Candace Fox, Chris Hammer, I reckon half their life, Alan, is probably traveling around, going to bookstores, signing books, speaking at conferences and events. They're doing a lot of promotional work as well as writing.
All right. Now, let me ask you this question. What sort of person rocks up at your Murky Melbourne? Are they a cross section? Are they more professional people? Are they mums, dads? I know that's a hard question, but is there is it right across the spectrum of society, or is there a more, I think you know where I'm trying to get to, what sort of person is likely to turn up at Murky Melbourne?
Well, we probably two-thirds of the people that rock up are probably 50-plus age group.
Oh, yeah.
Probably male and female. But like you said before, they probably always thought they had a book in them, but they never found a community where they could kind of talk about it. Like writing can be a very isolating and lonely activity. So the idea of having a group is, you know, helpful.
Yep.
But we have young people also writing themselves. I guess they're not really looking at it necessarily as a full-time thing. They're just intrigued by the challenge of writing.
Sounds good. Mark, I've got to take a final break and then have your paper and pencil ready, people, because Mark's going to tell you how you can get involved, and maybe someone out there today has got a really good idea for a book. So contact Mark. Oh, we'll get you some details very shortly. Watch out.
Like writing murky, mysterious stories, crime-ridden thrillers, or gripping tales of suspense? A new monthly crime writers group called Murky Melbourne. This group meets on the first Wednesday of each month at Miller's Homestead in Boronia. For more information, contact murkymelbourne at gmail.com.
Mark, just for a little bit of fun. How did you, or what made you come up with the name Murky Melbourne?
I think just the word murky just said it all. Just said it all. And it's not a word that we use much now.
No.
When I thought of it, I thought, yeah, that's it, because it, you know, people usually know straight away what that means. And then, of course, rather than calling it murky, I don't know, East Melbourne or, you know, murky Barony or something, I thought, you got to think big. And Melbourne's, you know, now the biggest city in Australia. Yep. So why not put us on the map?
Sounds good. Right, Mark, how are people going to get... well, first of all, can you sort of tell the people what you're looking for in riders? I suppose you're not looking for anything. It's just if they think they can ride, they're the sorts of people you want to talk to.
Yeah, like we're pretty open to people reaching out, and I think one thing I wanted to say, Alan, to everyone is when you say, "Oh, it's a writers group," sometimes people can think, "Oh, look, I'm no good at writing." It's a bit like, you know, people say they can't sing.
Yep.
The whole idea is that you'd be surprised that you don't have to be highly trained or famous to be a writer. In fact, most people start just like everyone else, just with a computer or a pen and paper. So, you know, forget about being, you know, somehow special or a VIP or something. But we're basically looking for somebody who is interested in the idea of writing. Maybe they're a great reader. In fact, to be a great writer, the best starting point is being a good reader.
Yeah, so
if you love reading.
Yeah.
If you love reading. Yeah, basically the act of reading means you've been trained to appreciate good writing, and you might even enjoy certain authors, and they're things you can learn from and adapt to your own writing.
So would you pick up sort of, not a foible, but it's something that the person sort of specialises in, or you know, dramatics and that, from a writer, and then adapt it to yourself, or do you just start off writing?
Well, certainly you could just start writing and get your ideas down, but one of the things that I really found a bit confronting to begin with, but I really enjoy it now with crime writing, is it's a no BS type style of writing. So what I mean is that the best crime writing is the stuff that's really direct. It's to the point. There's no fluffy language. You know a hero who stands up and says, "Get out of here," you know? A few words, and all of a sudden it evokes so many things.
Go ahead and make my day.
Exactly. Do you feel lucky, punk? You know, we all know these one-liners, and they stay with us.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. All right, Mark, how are people going to get hold and find out more about murky Melbourne?
Yeah, well, we already have some great people from Yarra Valley who come from Healesville. Basically, the easiest way is just Google murky Melbourne, and we've got lots of entries there. We're listed on Riders Victoria website. We have a Facebook page. You can also, if you look up the Your Library Network, the Miller's Homestead is actually the library network, and they host us. And also we have an email, murkymelbourne@gmail.com. So plenty of ways to get in contact.
So that's murkymelbourne@gmail.com.
Exactly, that's it.
Mark, look, it's been a real pleasure to talk to you. I've never spoken to an author before, I must say, and I'm intrigued as to how... I mean, I read. I don't say I'm a great reader, but I read, you know, an hour every day. And I often wonder how books come about. You know, have you ever... I think I've asked you this in a bit of a roundabout way. Have you ever started a book and maybe got into a bit and then thought, "Nah, I need to change this whole and almost start again"?
Absolutely, quite often. I've got lots of different sort of, I keep a diary, and if I have an idea for a book, I might scribble some notes down or something. But I'm a believer, if you go back to it, then it's probably got life to it. if you don't, that's okay. Like, ideas are easy. Lots of people have ideas. It's the ones who follow through and make it happen. They're the writers.
Yeah, that makes sense. So you've had one, or how many books have you had published? Have you just had the one, did you say?
Yeah.
And, pardon me, and you're working on another one now?
Yeah.
Mark? Are you writing on another one now?
Yes, writing on one now, yeah.
Yep, and basically all you really want to write is crime, is that right?
At this stage, sometimes I toy with some non-fiction, like I love history. Sometimes I think about, researching a particular topic just because I'm interested in it, and maybe I'll write something about that, but I haven't really followed up on that yet.
Yeah, so it's mainly crime. What I guess the other thing is, what sort of is your background? Anything to do with crime? That's why you sort of went down that track.
You mean, am I a criminal?
No. I mean, more, are you out of the police side or the judicial side?
No. The area, there's lots of different crime writers. So the area that I particularly write about is corporate crime.
That'd be fascinating.
Yeah, and the reason for that is I've worked in the corporate and business world for many years.
Yep.
And I have a PhD in business ethics, so I've seen some murky things along my way.
Bet you have too.
And so once again, that's good grist for the mill.
So in some ways, although it's not based on any particular thing that happened to you, as you said before, it's stuff that's could have quite easily been in your past that is sort of re-coming up again.
Yeah, well, memories swirl around, and I was asked last week about, the case of the Easy Street.
Yes.
Crime. And, I was asked, does that sort of directly influence my writing? And I said, well, those sorts of things you hear about, or even like, the unfortunate murder of the CEO in Manhattan recently.
Yep.
Now, I won't write about those particular topics, but over time, they kind of shape your thinking about, what we used to think was no longer possible.
Yep.
We never thought a CEO in Manhattan would be shot.
No.
In the middle of the day, but it happened.
Mark, unfortunately, I've got to go. The news is about ready to start. So I thank you for your time, wish you well, and I look forward to talking to you again sometime.
Thanks, Alan. All the best. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark. Bye.